You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
It's Football Sunday here at WEEI. Christian Arkand, noted Everclear fan Ted Johnson is here as well, along with Shime Time and Mega. And it is 11 o'clock, which means it is time to let you know who said what. It's time for They Said It.
One, two, three.
It's time for...
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
I just hope we can win a game.
But they are who we thought they were.
They said it.
And we let them off the hook.
Football Sunday edition.
36 counter naked waggle.
I'm just going to say.
WEEI.
Oh, baby, it's time to talk about what they said this week in the wide world of football here on WEEI Football Sunday. Let's begin with an epic game yesterday. The Chicago Bears defeated the Green Bay Packers in a tremendous comeback. They recovered an onside kick, and in overtime, Chicago had the ball. They score and they win the game, and they took an absolute kill shot of a throw from Caleb Williams, which is a dart right to DJ Moore, who made one of the better catches of the year this year. After the game, DJ Moore talked to, I believe it was Tom Rinaldi of Fox. Here was DJ Moore.
DJ.
Oh, yeah.
DJ.
What's up?
How would you describe what it took to win that game?
It took a lot. A lot of ups and downs on our side, but we fought to the end, made it happen.
On the onside kick, you guys get the possession, you stop them. Take me through the touchdown pass that won it.
Just now?
Yes.
Yeah. We worked on it in practice. I've seen the look. Nobody back deep. I just got to run my ass off. Go catch the ball for Caleb.
This has been such a challenging nemesis, the Packers against the Bears. I see the nod.
Yeah.
What does it mean to get this one, DJ?
Man, it means a lot. And at the end of the day, it's after Packers always.
So, yeah, it's F the Packers always for DJ Moore. I know Mego's going to hate this. Caleb was awesome in that second half.
Tremendous.
Some of the throws he makes are unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the arm talent is absolutely there. And I think Ben Johnson was arguably the best possible pairing for him because he's kind of corralled him. He's reined in some of that craziness that he had last season, got him to play more on time, established a great running game and a good offensive line. That he has improved dramatically year over year.
Best thing he could have done was give him an offensive line.
Yeah.
That, I mean,
go get Joe Tooney
and a running game. shoot. You kidding me?
You know who was really impressive, I thought? Malik Willis. Where were some of those throws coming from? Where did that guy get 9 of 11 for 100? He almost had a perfect QB rating. He was really, really good.
He was awesome in that game. They didn't utilize him, I think, enough. Like, and it's crazy because in the limited starts he has made when Jordan Love has gotten hurt, I think like last year he made a couple starts. Like, he's been really talented. And he was terrible when he was in Tennessee, but learning under Matt LaFleur and under Jordan Love has done him wonders. I wouldn't be shocked if he's one of those other like backup quarterbacks that gets a decent sized contract to be a starter at some point here soon.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked by that either. It's a league that needs a lot of, you know, you need to have a good backup. And when Jordan Love got popped, and oh my God, that was that hit on him was pretty rough for you know, a guy trying to just maneuver through the pocket. He got rocked. And Willis came in, I thought, played really well. And you're right, Williams at the end of that game was nails against the stout Packers defense. These are two good teams playing each other here.
Yeah,
you know, it's the same kind of thing on Thursday night. Two very good teams. And when you have two good teams playing each other, you notice who steps up. Caleb Williams was awesome last night.
And
awesome.
I thought for a long time you could have made the argument that the Bears are very much like the Patriots. Strength of schedule stinks. Yeah. Strength of victory is bad. But going out and beating a team like Green Bay like that is a statement.
Okay, but can't you still put like a little, I can never say the word, asterisk on this game? Because Malik Willis, as great as some of those throws were, you were able to make some of the decisions when it came down to crunch time because the starting quarterback was out on the other side in terms of like settling for the field goal, going into overtime, knowing that you could probably control the game.
Yeah, you can definitely put that asterisk there. I still think, though, it's a great win for the Bears and Caleb, who kind of needed one and are still fighting for that number one seed. I think it was a really good comeback victory for them. Next here, another game that's already happened. Thursday night, another team that blew a lead, 16-point lead for the Rams in the fourth quarter. Punt return for Rashid Shaheed immediately turned that game, and the Seahawks end up beating the Rams in overtime by going for two. And the two-point conversion at the end of the, like towards the end of regulation, was a massive talking point. Also a massive talking point, Puka Nacua being on Aiden Ross's stream and saying a bunch of weird stuff and talking about doing a celebration that is apparently derogatory as well. Sean McVay was asked about Puka Nacua being on that live stream and his actions. Here is what Sean McVay said after the game.
What are you talking about?
You just put something on Twitter a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, you know, so what are you asking me right now?
Are you okay
I can't
with
answer questions about something that I'm not aware of.
Okay, but are you okay with players kind of expressing frustration over things like that? Or is that something that you hope that they kind of keep to themselves? And
I got to have more information before I answer any of those kind of questions.
What conversations have you had with Puka about his live stream this week?
Yeah, he was very apologetic. I don't think he understood the totality of some of the things. I think he issued that apology. I know this guy's heart. And for anybody that was offended, terribly sorry about that. I know he feels that same exact way. He's a young guy that's a great kid that's continuing to learn about, you know, just the platform that he has. I love him. We're going to continue to put our arm around him and help him learn and grow. But we never want to do things that ever offend anybody. And I know he feels that same way.
How about
I never saw it, and then he just answers the question.
Yeah.
I think he was saying he didn't see the tweet that just got posted.
Yeah, he had just tweeted something like right after the game is over.
The backstory of this is just the stupidest time that we live in. Is he goes on this dumb stream and says stuff that apparently he didn't or talked about and had some dance that he didn't know he's saying was offensive.
But then he also lit the refs up too and said that the refs all want to be on TV and that's why they make these bad calls and blah, 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 blah. And then after the game, he tweeted something. Ah, see, Ed watched that game. Can't say I was wrong now about the refs. Saw what happened. And then he deleted it. And then they told Sean McVay about it. And Sean McVay has like a new baby at home, right?
Yes.
Like, so you can tell. Like,
and he's been violently ill for like the last week. I'm pretty sure
he does not
want to
hear about this crap. You can tell, like, in his face, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, stop. I don't want to talk about this. We don't want to offend anybody. Just bleep off. Like, it basically was his.
Like, half
his
the Rams staff had to take a separate plane because they're all, like, dealing with the neurovirus.
Oh.
So.
Oh, hey, Kim, real quick, you know what I thought was really interesting about the end of that game was they line up for the 2-point conversion, and then the Rams call a timeout.
Mm.
And then the Seahawks line up the second time, but then the Seahawks call a timeout. And so you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, play your best 2-point conversion play. Like, they're down to their third best 2-point conversion play.
Well, they're trying to get the best matchup they can, right?
Right, right. But I'm just saying, like, just think about that. You keep calling timeouts. You go, well, you can't run that play. They saw what we were in. We got to run another play. Well, we called a timeout, so we can't run that play. So you had to get to your third play, and it worked perfectly.
Yeah, they threw a pass to a guy who hadn't caught a pass all day.
Right.
I like the play. My favorite two-point conversion is when you just pick up the ball off the ground and give it to the ref, and he's like, touchdown!
That was one of the wilder things, too. They're like lining up to kick off, and they're like, oh, wait, nope. Expedited review said that's a good two-point conversion. Tie game.
That was wild. It's also wild that Puka Nacua had 225 yards receiving. Matthew Stafford did not get sacked once. They had an 18-point lead, and they lost. That's incredible. That is an incredible win
for
the Seahawks.
He threw for 457 yards.
Ridiculous.
Insane.
Against the Seahawks, they're a great defense.
Shime, do you believe in Sam Darnold? Because there's a lot of Sam Darnold haters who are watching and saying this is where the chickens come home to roost. He's going to turn back into Sam Darnold.
So he was really bad for like three quarters, and then he was good in the fourth quarter, which is normally the complete opposite of what Sam Darnold does. So I guess that's a good sign. But I will be betting against the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs. I will tell you that right now.
The two games they played the Rams, he's got six. Sam Darnold threw six interceptions in the two games.
They know how to frustrate.
Shime doesn't care about interceptions.
Especially,
right, those don't count.
Yeah. It's brutal when you're on your own five and you throw to a defensive lineman and hit him in the face instead of seeing him. That's a tough one. Another quarterback, though, who I do have a lot of questions about, and I think a lot of people have a lot of questions about, is Joe Burrow. Really going through it the last week or so.
Poor Joe.
He had a back and forth with the media this week about his tenure with the Bengals, if he'll be here, all that stuff. Here was Joe Burrow.
Is there any world in your mind where you're not the quarterback of the Bengals next year?
Yes.
I can't see that, no.
Have you ever both thought about the possibility of not being the quarterback here during your career, or?
You think about a lot of things.
When you look at quarterbacks over the course of their time, great ones, Peyton, Brady, you kind of have to understand that you never know what this league will bring. What did you learn from watching how their careers unfolded?
Yeah, a lot of crazy things happen every year. Micah Parsons got traded right before the season, I think, this year. That is something I hadn't seen in a long time in the NFL, so crazy things can happen.
So, I originally thought, when Joe Burrow was having a sad originally, I thought he was going through an Andrew Luck moment. Mm. He was worried about the injuries. He didn't know his body could take his beating. I have switched my position. I believe everyone else was right, and he just doesn't want to play for Cincinnati anymore.
Why does it sound like a lie detector test?
Right?
I know. It's like a court stenographer in the background.
It's like,
Can you read that back, please?
There's only one reporter asking questions, and he's in a very hushed tone. Like, that was very weird.
In my mind's eye, he has a blood pressure cuff hooked up to his arm, and he's like, crazy things happen.
Yeah.
Would you want to play for an organization that won't even pay for people to come clean out the snow in their stadium?
Well, they paid the receivers he wanted.
Well, and that's my big thing.
But nobody on defense.
Also true. But at the same time, Joe Burrow asked for them to pay for T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, and they did. And they've paid him. And so it's just... it's this weird situation, but my working theory is Matthew Stafford wins MVP, wins the Super Bowl, retires. The Rams have two first-round picks in this upcoming draft. They utilize those to go trade for Joe Burrow.
Interesting.
Okay.
Who goes to L.A.? You think so? Joe Burrow over Josh Allen? Because everybody thinks Josh Allen's going out there because that's where his wife wants to go.
I don't think so. I think the Bills would never trade Josh Allen. I don't think there's enough first-round picks on the planet that they would trade Josh Allen.
There are some wonderful productions around this time of year that Haley Steinfeld could be in Buffalo.
Sure.
Perhaps a local Christmas carol.
Yep. Well, she's pregnant now as well. I know they can just hang out. I mean, they both have enough money where she could also just, take some time off.
So she should just give up her career?
Nope. He's going to have some time off here in a month or two.
Okay,
she can be out in L.A. for
just say what
months.
You want to say.
He should stick to football, and then she should go date a jiu-jitsu instructor and get pregnant.
Oh, man. Are we going to talk about that?
Yikes.
What's going on?
At least he's making an honest woman out of her. That's nice,
they got married?
Yeah. Nice. It's true love.
Did you see Tom's reaction to the marriage, though, last night?
Yeah, he posted some weird... No, he posted a weird, sad video. With that Logic song.
I went to high school with Logic.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you know he was going to get famous for an anti-suicide song?
He was I want to say he was a year below me.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Was he cool or was he like a dork?
I didn't remember him. I found out who he was after the fact when he got famous, and everybody, a bunch of my high school friends were like, that's so-and-so from high school.
I can tell you, Tom Brady likes him because he used his song, which is a song that's like a red flag type of song.
Yeah. I was going to say, is it another anti-suicide song?
No, it's that song. It was that one.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, is Tom okay?
I don't know.
I don't know.
He sounded fine on the broadcast last night.
He was great on the broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Seeing Philip Rivers come back, does that mean Tom Brady's coming back? Like. No. He's like, I got to get all these negative emotions out. Let's go do it on the football field.
Imagine how mad Cam Newton would be if Tom Brady gets a call before he does.
Kansas City Chiefs call up Tom Brady.
That'd be pretty funny. What else we got?
We got one more for you here. So the New England Patriots are going to be on Sunday Night Football. Drake May sat down with a friend of the station, Devin McCourty, and talked about his nickname.
First, I want to ask you, like, throughout the NFL history, we got Primetime, Broadway Joe, Mean Joe Green, these nicknames. Your nickname.
Oh, man.
Drake May. How you get stuck with that nickname?
I don't know. I think it's pretty clever. I mean, it's not very unique, but it's I think it's some account or something, but the guys that call me that in the locker room, it's funny. It gets you a laugh.
So you like it?
Nobody really knows what it means. I mean, I'm for it. I'm not against it, so I think it's pretty cool.
I would just like to clarify, it's the account is Drake May Lover.
Right.
And Drake, it is Drake May May.
Yeah, we get it now.
It's fantastic. I don't understand what people don't understand about this. It's like people who don't understand 6'7". It's like the same thing.
Don't bring that up, please.
It's even easier than 6'7", because it's just easier. His nickname is his name.
Yeah, and it's very unique. Because there's only one of him. He is him.
Like, yeah.
That's the whole point.
It's true. He's the only one. All right, there you go. That is They Said It with Chris Scheim. Chris Scheim, who is also going to get you caught up on what's trending here. Some news from the baseball world, get you ready for football today as well. We'll get to some phone calls at 617-779-7937. And we'll talk with Tommy Curran. That's all coming up next. First, here, Scheim.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Your New England Patriots are in Baltimore to take on the Ravens tonight on Sunday Night Football. Kickoff is at 8:20. We had two Saturday games yesterday. The Eagles dominated the Commanders 29-18, and the Bears mounted a crazy comeback to beat the Packers in overtime 22-16. In the 1 o'clock window today, we have Bills at Browns, Chargers at Cowboys, Chiefs at Titans, Bengals at Dolphins, Jets at Saints, Vikings at Giants, and Buccaneers at Panthers. In the 4 o'clock window, we've got Falcons at Cardinals, Jaguars at Broncos, Steelers at Lions, and Raiders at Texans. The college football playoff has officially gotten underway. God, I can't speak all of a sudden. Kicked off this week, Alabama beat Oklahoma, Miami upset Texas A&M, Oregon beat James Madison, and Ole Miss beat down on Tulane. In non-football news, the Boston Bruins fell to the Vancouver Canucks in a shootout last night at the Garden 5-4, and the Celtics welcome in the Pacers tomorrow night at 7:30. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Yeah.com.
Tommy Curran, who was hot on the case there, and I think still is. I think Curran's still on the scent when it comes to this whole story, non-story, whatever it may be. Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels, some comments that were made here on these airwaves on the Greg Hill Show on Monday about the play calling and follow-ups there with Vrabel that you just heard from Tommy Curran, where Mike it sounds like, clearly denied that there was any sort of problem, any sort of rift. And, Curran, as you're supposed to do, if you're a responsible reporter, you get both sides of the story, which he did. But I have the feeling the antennas are still up there. Like, I don't think that that's going away. And if there's another loss, like, say, I don't know, tonight, and the play callings maybe, I don't know, a little lackluster in the second half. And let's say, just hypothetically, Mike Vrabel makes some salty comment about it either after the game or the next morning on the Greg Hill Show. I have a feeling Tommy Curran is going to be talking about that. I have a funny feeling that a whole thing has not gone away yet.
Well, our station drove it.
Sure, we did.
We did.
Sure did.
Because he called it a cute little play, essentially. Cute little play is what Josh McDaniels essentially said about the trick plays and that those aren't sustainable. There's nothing untrue about that. It's just the way that he said it. I do think the biggest takeaway for me from that whole dynamic and the way that you hear Vrabel talk about both sides of the ball is that he just has, he's a defensive guy. He loves the defense. I'm sure he loves all parts of the team, but the defense is like, he's just going to have a little bit of a blind spot for it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just, as an anti-McDaniels guy, I would like to believe that Mike Vrabel does in fact dislike Josh McDaniels, but I don't think it's actually true. I think they just have a working relationship. Josh is cheap. He knows he's pretty good.
He's free.
Yeah, exactly. He's free. And it's just that, he's just not Vrabel's guy. Vrabel's going to talk glowingly about his guys more frequently than he's going to talk about Josh. And that's just kind of the way I see it, is that he's going to pump up his guy Ashton Grant and his guy Todd Downing. And Josh has been a head coach in this league. People know who Josh is. He doesn't really care to pump up Josh's tires because he doesn't think he needs to.
Thoughts there, Tanya?
He's a natural. Vrabel likes tension between the offenses and the defense. That's the way he's always been. He was that way as a player. He talked more crap to Brady in practice than anybody. When I covered him for the Texans and he was the linebackers coach and the D coordinator, constantly talking smack to the offense when he was there. I think he likes that tension between offense and defense. I think he feels like if there's a natural kind of adversarial relationship, it will raise the intensity in the practices. They'll get better practices. Thus, they will play better.
Do you feel like there's that tension on this team, though? It feels very kumbaya-y to me.
Yeah, but it's tension or it's just ball busting, you know? I mean, there was tension between the two units when we were winning our Super Bowls because we were...
Oh, for sure. No, so, yeah,
tension, I don't know if that's the right word, but a highly competitive atmosphere, you know, where it was... Where we were trying to compete in practice. So, you know, the harder you practice, usually the better the outcomes in the games.
Well, there was somebody, I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately. One of the defensive players even said after the Buffalo loss, the loss to Buffalo, we can't depend on the offense to bail us out. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to be able to stand on our own. And I do wonder if there's a sense of that from the defense, of the offense has been the engine that makes this thing go for so much of the season. We would like to have some kind of statement game. Maybe it will be today. I don't know.
Yeah, do you think they're talented enough to have a statement game like that against a team like Baltimore?
I don't
Baltimore?
Think they're deep enough. Yeah. So that's the bigger issue for a game like today when you're down Robert Spillane, Jack Gibbons will have the green dot, and you haven't been able to generate a ton of takeaways, as I started off the show talking mm-hmm. about. I don't think they're not talented. I think they're fine. I just don't think they're deep, and that's something we were concerned about going back to camp.
You know, what's interesting about that comment from Mike, it's almost the way he says it, like, really? You know, those was a cute play and all. It's almost as if he acts as like he has no say in what the offense does.
Right, yeah.
That's the weirdest part.
Well, because we followed up with him, though, about that, if he does, and he even said, he goes, yeah, I learned in my time in Tennessee that, like, if I want to weigh in, it has to be before they spot the ball.
Right.
Otherwise, you're creating way too much chaos for the offense, and then there's chances where you run out of time on the play clock, you have to burn timeouts, all that stuff. So a lot of the times, like he even said, he's like, yeah, I can weigh in, and I have everything falls on me, but I have to do it in enough time to give Josh and them enough time to get the right personnel out and all that stuff.
What I would say that is, during you practice these plays in practice, how about in practice you say, Josh, let's not put that play in. Right. I don't want that play. So you could stop Josh from calling that play in the game is if you don't run it in practice.
My thing isn't, I guess, to off of that, like, I don't know that my big complaint would be necessarily him weighing in on the play calling. Mine would be more so, like, at halftime, him weighing in on the urgency that the offense has, right? Like, yeah, you have a lead. Don't try and milk this. Like, step on their throats. Like, let's go out there. Let's continue to win. We're facing Josh Allen. Let's not kind of just, like, let up a little bit. Let's really keep the pressure on. Pull out a couple more trick plays if you need to. Continue to build the lead instead of just kind of, like, coasting into the second half.
If I'm going to continue, which I obviously am, if I'm going to continue digging at that whole thing about a potential rift between Vrabel and McDaniels, what you just said in the follow-up, and I talked about this a little bit during the week, I think we talked about it, Mega, was that if Vrabel's coming in at the last minute to change the play, you know, Josh isn't going to be doing great with that. Like,
no,
you know, for years and years, he did the offense and builded the defense, yep. And never the twain shall meet. And now all of a sudden, here's Vrabel, a guy who's a contemporary of his, not someone who we grew up under the wing of like he did with Belichick. And he's coming in at the last minute saying, no, we're changing the play to this.
Well, to be clear, he's saying he's not doing that.
Well,
no, exactly.
He's saying he's trying not to do that.
No, he's saying he's
resisting
saying
his impulses.
Right, yeah.
He learned at his time in Tennessee that that's bad for the offense,
right.
Is basically what he said.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, let's go ahead to our guest line and talk to our good friend, NBC Sports Boston's Tom E. Kern, who joins us here on the program. Hello, Mr. Kern. How are we doing today?
Christian, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to talk with you. It's been a couple of weeks, so good to be back here and good to be chatting with you. Let's go ahead and open up here with that final thoughts and leftover thoughts maybe from that Buffalo game, a game in which we saw this team have a terrible collapse at the end, and now I think we're looking at a potential turning point, maybe fork in the road type of game here tonight, and not so much about the playoffs or anything, Tom, but in terms of the perception of this team, their belief in themselves, and the opportunity to bounce back from an ugly loss. How much is weighing on this team going into primetime tonight?
It's funny. You know, we have seen forks in the road. I thought that the Giants game could be a fork in the road coming out of that with a couple of injuries and having played so long, and they answered that bell. I do think that this is tremendous preparation for the team that they're trying to be. You're going to go back-to-back against two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Similar dual threat guys. So to me, I think it's a great challenge for them. When you talk about what's at stake, not a lot. They should really win the division. All they need is really one win, and they'll have every tiebreaker. It's very difficult for them to win the conference. So if they lose this game, I think, and Teddy can speak to this, about team mentality. My feeling is that they would say, okay, this is something to learn from. What did we do last week that we didn't improve? What do we do this week that they got us on? And what can we do against Houston, Denver, the Chargers, whoever they face in the playoffs? I think this is good preparation, win or lose, either way. And I don't think they would be – they could, but I just don't think that they'll lose faith that they're bad. Because last week wasn't a bad loss. I mean, it wasn't great. But they got Josh Allen.
Tom, there's been a lot of fretting about Stephon Diggs, how many targets he's getting, his production over the last couple of weeks. You said on NBC Sports Boston this week, there needs to be a focus on Kayshon Booty as well, because he only got that one target in the last game. How do they incorporate Kayshon Booty into being more of the weapon that we've seen him be?
He looks to me, Meg, like just such a good, strong, at the point of you know, contention at the ball. So reliable. So even if he doesn't, and he actually does when you look at the numbers, create good separation, better than anybody else on the team. Even when he's covered, he's not covered. So I'm surprised that they've only, you know, the one target they had last week, he made a ridiculous catch. The one target they had in Miami, he made a ridiculous 13-yard touchdown catch. If they're looking on third and five and they're bogging down and it's difficult for Diggs to get off press coverage the way he has previously, I think Booty is a better option on some of those routes. Or at least an option that needs to be more considered. So I think that, you know, the offense can't bog down, and I think they're going to see a lot more zone blitzes just based on Buffalo's success with them last week, which Teddy talked about. But I think that Booty really is a little bit untapped in terms of what he can do for you physically.
Tom, this team was efficient last week when they actually got to the red zone. We saw Drake May run a couple of times there for scores. Do you think that's going to be a more common occurrence going forward, or is that kind of a they're still going to continue to very limit him even in the red zone and kind of pick their spots when they want to do that?
I think that they'll put that much more into play. I think that they've come to realize, or at least they should, we're not a team that can just line up and say tougher than thou. We're going to run it right down your throat. Here we come. You know we were coming. Try and stop us. They're not that team, especially without the ability, I think, of Tonga, who was pretty indispensable on some of the short yardage stuff. So I would say continue to make him a dual threat, whether it be with runs or to sprint out. One interesting thing about his up the middle touchdown run was that while Diggs isn't getting the ball as much as folks would have presumed that he would, he's getting a crap ton of coverage. Two guys went with him on that play. That's why May was able to just walk down the middle of the field. The linebacker said, oh, my God, that's Diggs. We're not going to get beat by him. And they went with him. So if a team decides they're not going to be concerned with Stephon Diggs, I wouldn't be surprised if he has another big game. It might go like that.
Hey, Tom, I'm just curious, if you're worried about this defense at all, and if so, what would be the main area of concern for you?
Run defense, red zone defense, and that's those two. And really that's where it, I can't say it begins and ends, but everything else is secondary, Teddy. So when I think of those two spots, it's run defense and goal line and red zone, because they're going to keep seeing quarterbacks and offensive coordinators who have much better programs than the ones that they've seen. And those teams are going to have, you know, a set of answers. But it's amazing to me that the Ravens can have Derrick Henry and Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson, and I know he's been hurt, and be 31st in the league in red zone. So it's going to be interesting tonight to see who gets right in the red zone against each other, because Patriots are horrendous as a red zone defense and the Ravens are horrendous as a red zone offense.
We're talking with Tom E. Curran here, NBC Sports Boston. Tom, no one got elevated from the practice squad, as we found out last night or this morning. I can't remember exactly when. But we heard about that, and we're assuming now that that means a lot of these guys are going to play, guys that missed time with injuries this week, sort of following up here with Ted and his questions about the defense. We saw those linebackers. We saw those edge rushers all really struggle against Buffalo to get to the quarterback, to defend against the tight ends. It seems like Baltimore has a lot of those same weapons and same philosophies on offense. What kind of adjustments can Mike Vrabel make?
Yeah, it's interesting. Do you come out of a game like that and just say, well, it's Josh Allen, what do you want? He runs around back there and he's going to create time, and it's difficult to deal with different players like Dalton Kincaid. But can Lamar Jackson, can he? Yes. Will he? And does he have the capability in 2025 the way he has previously to do it? We'll see. I don't know if they need to drastically go back to the drawing board completely. It's probably just, you know, not having Spillane out there is a massive part of it.
Just really quick, Tom, because we started off talking about the Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels comments. As the week has gone on, has your perspective on what Mike was talking about when he said, you know, it's a cute trick play and that kind of the whole dynamic, has it changed at all for you? Especially, I know you talked to Mike Vrabel and you shared that on our station earlier in the week.
Yeah, my perspective has changed. You know, when you hear that and you hear Mike talk about trust and decisiveness, and you hear the comment about the trick play, I have access. I should use that access. Otherwise, what good am I to any audience? So I should call and say, what do you mean by that? Did you mean, because I come to find out that he's just talking generally. It's a cardinal rule. We want to have trust and decisiveness. And, you know, I feel like I kind of did a disservice to the audience. And certainly there have been plenty of instances throughout the season when Josh has not been singled out specifically. But the notion that Mike is rankled or second-guessing or wants somebody else, that was summarily dispatched for me this week. So I should have done a better job, and I should have called previously.
Tom, on our show on Monday, he talked about how he would go about weighing in with Josh in a game, how he has to do it before the ball is spotted. He learned that at his time in Tennessee so that he doesn't create too much chaos. Do you get any sense that he is weighing in at all when it comes to offensive play calling, or is he really kind of just allowing Josh to call his game and then kind of just worry about the outcomes later?
I think it's the latter, but I don't think that if he does weigh in, it's in the vein of, what the hell are we doing? I think with offensive play calling as opposed to defensive play calling, because the offense starts things and makes a decision as to what the play is going to be, we all are kind of backseat drivers. So, yeah, why would you do that? Shame you, especially.
Oh, yeah. I do it all the time. All the time.
So I think as a result of that, and Mike being open and transparent the way he's discussed the play calling and not specifically singled out Josh for flowery praise, we've had a tendency to go, I wonder if he really likes that stuff. And so I don't think that Mike is sitting there saying, what are we doing? I think he says, what are we doing here? As opposed to, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
So I think that they understand, like, again, I'll just reiterate, there is no disgruntlement with Mike toward Josh and the play calling of the job he's doing with the complement of players that he's been given. He's well aware of the remarkable job McDaniels has been doing.
Hey, Tom, I want to take a little bit of a right turn here and just talk about the head coach for the Baltimore Ravens. You know, John Harbaugh, he's been there for 18 years, has a Super Bowl win. He's been coach of the year one time, has a 6-17 winning record. Just your thoughts on him. Is he a Hall of Fame coach, do you think? And just what do you think of him overall as a coach?
That's a good question, Teddy. You know, it's funny. He came as a special teams coach, never coached offense or defense, came up as a special teams coach, and came from the Eagles to the Ravens. I would say he's probably not a Hall of Fame coach, just based on the one Super Bowl win. But he did have the Patriots blocking him for a period of time as well. But there's just so many dual Super Bowl winning coaches like Mike Shanahan, for instance, or Mike Holmgren. I would look at those guys and say, yeah, I would probably say those guys over John Harbaugh. But he created a program there. Their whole franchise, with Bisciotti as the owner, was one of the best owners you don't really hear about very much, really created a program there with Ozzie Newsome, Eric DaCosta, Massachusetts own, Taunton's own, and that just continues to move ahead. So there's conversation every year about whether or not somebody who's been there for 18 years is going to continue to on in that place. But I just think he's a really good coach who created a program and strictly adheres to what he's got.
All right, Tom, before we let you go here, the Patriots underdogs in this game, according to the wise guys, it was 2.5 to start the week. It actually moved more towards Baltimore. It's now a 3.5 in some books. How do you think this game's going to go? And do you think the Ravens should be favored in this game?
Yeah, I think the Patriots continue to need to prove to people against the better teams. And I think that they did went a long way toward doing that, but they didn't finish it last week. I wonder what the line would be had they beaten Buffalo. I really feel like this is a coin flip game. Baltimore has been a team in the hunt for so long. Their backs are completely against the wall. They're playing better defense. They're coming off a shutout. They are horrendous at getting after the quarterback. If they can't get after Drake May, the party's over. I don't care how good Kyle Hamilton and Roquan Smith are, then they will lose the game. If they're able to get pressure on him and show him things that he has to adjust to again, as Buffalo did, then it will be a more difficult game. But I still think I'm going to go 24-23. The Ravens also can't win at home, and they are very irritated about that. So it's going to be a very hard game, I think, for the Patriots to win. But I'm going to bet on them and say 24-23 win.
There you go. That is the prediction of Tom E. Kern, NBC Sports Boston. You can check him out pre, post, and halftime with the Patriots and the Sunday night game here tonight. Tom, great stuff as always. We look forward to talking with you again all week long and next weekend.
All right. Take care, guys. Merry Christmas.
All right. Merry Christmas, Tom. It's Tom E. Kern here, NBC Sports Boston, joining us on Football Sunday. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will hear from our other expert. That, of course, is the coach himself from the Greg Hill Morning Show, Jermaine Wiggins. Wiggy and his keys are coming up right after this.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
The only offense you saw in the second half of that Buffalo game, Christian Arkin here, Ted Johnson, Chris Scheimego. It is football Sunday here. We're going to get to Wiggy's Keys in just a minute, but I know that you probably got something to say about that block, Scheim. I know that made you feel a certain type of way.
Screen.
I thought it was going to be part of his like MVP moment, like the highlight reel they show at the end of the year when he wins MVP. I thought that was going to be it. I thought that was the moment the Patriots were like, don't worry, we're going to figure this out, and we're actually going to beat Josh Allen and the Bills for the second time this year. Unfortunately, it did not end that way.
No.
I did love that play, though, by Drake May. Great hustle.
Yeah, it was. It was a
Oh my god, gross.
It was a nice block, absolutely,
nice.
And it was probably Drake May's best play of the second half. I would say he didn't really do anything else other than that in the second half. So
yeah,
you know, you want your quarterback maybe to provide a little bit more offense than just a nice block downfield. But either way, let's hear what Wiggy has to say as we get to the keys to the game.
It's hard for me to be wrong. This is what I would have did.
Wiggy's keys.
What up, your boy Wiggy here. My keys to the game, simple. You gotta have great pass rush discipline when it comes to Lamar Jackson. You can't allow him to get out of the pocket and make plays with his legs. You see what that does to you against a team like the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. So your rush lane discipline is going to be key.
All right, Ted, you want to speak on this one? Rush lane discipline and a guy like Lamar Jackson, who this year is not exactly been, his longest run is only like 40 yards or something like that. He's not exactly been tearing off big runs all year, and he has been injured and certainly dealing with some problems there. But as far as this team and the way they rush the passer, how important is what Wiggy's talking about?
It is not as much as Josh Allen, but it is important. You clearly got to you cannot give up the edges like you did last week. I mean, Josh Allen had that beautiful throw to Dawson Knox in the fourth quarter because the Patriots lost contain. So you have to make sure you keep him in the pocket. He's better outside the pocket. That is going to be a key thing. But he's with all these injuries and lower extremity injuries, he just isn't the same runner he used to be. My guess is they're going to want to keep him in the pocket. But still, nonetheless, he's a threat to run. So you better, just like Wiggy says, have very disciplined rush lanes when you do rush.
Yeah, is Lamar's like entire leg disintegrating? What's happening?
Yep.
I don't know.
Every week it's a different part of the leg that foot, it just keeps ankle, moving knee. Down. Yep. It's like a flesh-eating virus.
And he gets sick every year. Like, he has an illness every single year. Yeah. I don't know what it is. He's on the injury report just with illness, and he needs a day off.
Seems
it's
like a
crazy.
Lot of gastrointestinal stuff. You remember that game
where he had
the splats? Yeah,
yeah,
and that was something this week, too. He missed a game with an illness this week, or a practice with an illness.
But isn't that just kind of what they're doing with him at this point? Like, he's missing a practice a week for maintenance?
But it's like...
On the Steve McNair program, kind of.
Yeah, but, like, just say that. Like, when Tom Brady was doing it with the Buccaneers, they were just like, yep, old age. Like, just why do you need to come up with a different excuse? First it's the leg, then it's the ankle, then it's the thigh, now he's sick. Like, just tell us that you're doing maintenance on him. I feel like that they got in trouble for this earlier in the year when they made it seem like he was going to play and he didn't.
What,
like,
if you write lactose problem?
Sure. Great. That's a disease, you know?
Yeah.
What if they write green apple splatters?
I think that matters, too.
I think so. All right, let's hear the next key.
Key number two. Drake May and that offense got to make sure they come out firing in the second half, because that's when the game's going to be won. You know, sometimes you start slow at the beginning of the game, but it's always about that second half, making sure you come out with your foot on the gas.
All right, Mego, you've talked a lot about this. This team is not a good second-half team offensively. They just haven't been this year. It's been there's been games where they have had good third quarters. The Cleveland game springs to mind immediately. But by and large, when it gets to the second half, this team will have a great first half and then let teams back in that shouldn't really be competing with them.
A lot has been made out of the play calling and conservative nature of the second half in Buffalo. There is a thing with this team, and it's not just the offense, where they're aware of their issues. Mm. They're aware of the trend, but the space between that and the execution of fixing it, there's just miles between. It's the same thing as for much of the season we talked about with the defense, them letting up scores almost every single week, letting a team march down and score on them and say, well, I guess that's just what we have to live with. I don't know what it is where they know they're aware in the game. But the space between that and fixing it, it's just, maybe it's a, I don't want to say like maturity, like they have behavior problems, but just experience together. It just doesn't connect.
Yeah, it has been an issue for them all season long. And again, like I think a large part of it is they just get comfortable in the second half. Like that second half downturn, I think it's just they build up this lead. They're like, meh, we can kind of just coast to make sure they don't come back too much. And we just got to hold on to the lead. And outside of the Bills game, they hadn't blown a lead like that all season long. So they felt like they could just continue to do it. Now, when you face actually good NFL quarterbacks, you're not allowed to do
fourth that. Fourth quarter is their biggest problem. I mean, the third quarter, they've had brilliant drives to open up the third quarter. It's that fourth quarter. So, you know what? Make it a conscious thing. Talk about it. Hammer it. When you're in there at halftime, remind them all again, you know, like, we got to finish this game strong. Finish the damn race, and you'll be all right.
All right. Let's hear our last key, Wiggy.
And number three, this is going to be big. My opinion, and I say it every week, but I didn't say it last week, get that running game going. Keep that running game going, because when you get your running game going, you put your offense in such a position where it's so much easier to do things, especially when your running game's going on early downs. It keeps you ahead of the sticks on third downs.
Okay, that was his last key. I guess he didn't have that as a key last week.
No, he didn't.
And then they ran all over everybody in the first half anyway. They scored all their touchdowns on the ground. They were running it in from the red zone. The run game was on point in the first half of that game. So maybe Wiggy should stop talking about the run game,
yeah.
Right? I mean, if that's the one thing, because it hasn't been great this year. There's been good games. That was one of their better games running the ball.
Agreed.
Even though it was only the first half. It was about as effective as they've looked. Buffalo's run defense is not very good. They're 31st in EPA per run against. Baltimore is 12th, so it's going to be a lot harder to do that against this team here that they're playing tonight, but certainly the type of strategy they should be employing, I would say. I think we all agree with that. Got to run the ball, and especially when your pass catchers aren't getting open and getting contained the way they were against Buffalo, you're going to need to have to lean on that, and we'll see if they can. All right, there you go. Those are the keys to the game from Wiggy. We're going to reset on the top stories of the day. We'll get you some updates, by the way, on who is going to be active and inactive for the 1 o'clock slate of games. That information has come out. We'll scour through that, let you know any big names you should know or not know. Also, we have the top TED list, which is coming your way at 12:25. Looking forward to that, making its triumphant return. So that's all coming up here in the final hour of Football Sunday.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.